Good morning, Dr. Margie. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Now, first off, what are the main drawbacks from this policy?
Well, there are two policies, obviously, No Jab, No Play and No Jab, No Pay. Mm-hmm. And No Jab, No Play obviously focuses on children being excluded from early childcare services. So that's both kindergartens and childcare centres if they are unvaccinated. And I think we need to be careful. This is obviously a very nuanced, complex issue. And when we talk about childcare rates plummeting, I think they have certainly gone down in areas where vaccine refusal is a bit higher or vaccine hesitancy is a bit higher, such as in the Northern Rivers region or in Mullumbimby. But I don't know that we really understand across the board whether childcare enrolments have gone down. So, but in the areas where they have gone down and where vaccine refusal rates are higher, I think it's a very complex issue because obviously, the public get very upset and angry that these parents are choosing not to vaccinate their kids and potentially put other children at risk. But these policies, whilst excluding those kids, actually do have impacts on other children in the community. So, and I guess that's really what you're getting at. So if I can expand on that a little bit.
Absolutely.
For example, children who might be excluded from childcare when they are actually up to date with their immunisation. So there is there are instances of kids who are actually up to date on the Australian Immunisation Register, they're up to date on the register, but they can't get into childcare. They're up to date with their vaccines, but they're not up to date with the register. So there's an error with vaccine recording. And there are obviously children in the community, such as from refugee and asylum seeker backgrounds, that might not be up to date with their vaccines that really want to be, and they may also be excluded from childcare. So, I think there are many issues that we need to understand around these policies, not just the parents who refuse vaccines and are therefore excluded from childcare.
Yeah. So what are the health risks that non-vaccinated children are exposed to that they can transfer to the rest of the preschool?
That's a very interesting question. So in terms of the vaccine preventable diseases that potentially are circulating in preschools or that can be occur at higher rates, things like whooping cough or influenza or chickenpox, probably the three most common diseases that kids are most likely to be exposed to. Serious diseases like meningococcal disease are obviously a lot rarer. So I guess in the childcare setting, we might hear about cases of influenza or whooping cough or chickenpox being spread if the vaccination rates in that particular kindergarten or childcare are lower.
Yeah. Alrighty. So if you're just joining us now, we are talking to Dr. Margie Danchin, immunist paediatrician at the Murdoch Research Institute, about the recent No Jab, No Play policy and the negative consequences that come from that. Now, Dr. Margie, the policy is only in effect in Australia's eastern states. Is there a possibility that the No Jab, No Play policy will mean that families will move to other states for their preschool education?
Yeah, that's right. So at the moment, it's only being enforced in Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland. But we know that WA and South Australia are certainly considering or getting very close to introducing these policies. But in our immunisation clinic here at the hospital that I work at, we do see families that come in and have not got their children immunised for a range of reasons. There might be refusers or their child may have experienced an adverse event that they want to discuss, or for whatever reason that they have not got their child up to date with their vaccines and they can't get them into kindergarten, yes, those families are considering potentially moving into state to states where they don't have a no jab, no play policy, which I think is extremely challenging when they're moving away from potentially their family and their social networks.
Yeah. And in your experience and in your opinion, what do you think would be a more effective strategy to protect the health of children whilst not discriminating against those who aren't able to get vaccinated?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think most of us agree that these policies are actually here to stay. I don't think anyone's really asking necessarily for no jab, no pay or play to be removed, but I think we need to look at how they are being implemented in force and potentially relax some of the stricter aspects to So, for example, making medical exemptions or exemptions for families harder to reach, so that a family would need to go and speak to their healthcare provider, which is normally their GP, to get an exemption from vaccinating their child on a yearly basis, would encourage the parents to stay in touch with healthcare services, speak to their GP, not be alienated from their child, not be alienated from healthcare. So that's one suggestion. And another suggestion is really helping healthcare providers to continue to connect and discuss concerns that parents may have about vaccines, and to really foster the trust in that relationship, and to build communication strategies for healthcare providers. It's very dangerous with this issue to frame it all as an anti-vax issue, when we know that in that under-vaccinated proportion, maybe only about 3% of parents are actually fully refusing vaccines. There's a large proportion of parents that I believe would be open to discussing their concerns, and what we might call sitting on the fence, who could have their mind changed. And potentially these policies are angering them and turning them away and not giving them an opportunity to reconsider their decision. So I'd say communication with a healthcare provider, fostering trust, and potentially making exemptions harder to reach are all strategies that we could do to increase immunisation rates, because that's actually what we all want to achieve. We want to increase immunisation rates without being too punitive and potentially compounding disadvantage for some families.
Yeah, no, some good suggestions there. Well, you've given us a lot to think about, Dr. Marty. Well, I guess it goes without saying, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.